Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. On today's podcast, family pastor Scott Torres talks with Pastor Charlie Cole from West Cabarrus Church, continuing their conversation on Generation Z. Let's listen to their discussion on how parents can help disciple their children with their use of electronics.
I'm here again with Charlie Cole, discipleship pastor and long-term youth pastor, now serving at West Cabarrus Church. Today we're going to be talking about media usage and helping parents disciple their kids in the use of electronics. Now, first off, I want to begin by just saying that media usage and electronics are not bad. They're actually very helpful. They're useful. So our problem is not this per se. Charlie, you know this, that our problem is it lies in the heart, according to the scriptures. We're fallen, we're broken, we're sinful people whose rescue from ourselves and the penalty for our sin is in the person of Jesus. And we also live in a fallen world that is perpetuating the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Media usage is not bad. Electronics are not bad. Our hearts are what are fallen. But to that, I want to say that I think a lot of us don't know this. Maybe they know this. Maybe I'm late to the game, which is usually the case. But media usage is addictive. Now, listen to this. According to a study by Harvard University, it was put out on December 6, 2019. It was titled Social Media Addiction. It stated that due to the effect that media usage has on the brain, social media is addictive both physically and psychologically. Self-disclosure on social networking sites lights up the same part of the brain that also ignites when taking an addictive substance. Mm-hmm. Did I know that social media usage is addictive? Charlie, your thoughts when you hear me say that? Love to hear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is addictive. And, you know, it's interesting. We point back to digital media and so forth. And yet a lot of what we see kids and students in this age getting is they're also learning from adults that have kind of stepped into a piece of this addiction. Mm-hmm. What becomes troubling, and I think where we need to kind of be on alert, is that when we allow it, though, into the individual that is still young, psychologically developing, still forming habits, not knowing who their identity is, that it is hardwiring into their identity DNA exactly the perceptions and things that are going to come with that. And so thus, even, you know, why we see kids now dealing with depression, their first exposure to things like pornography and so forth, those coming in the way early years that, you know, even a generation ago wasn't happening until late teenage years. So the reality of, man, media is awesome, especially social media, the ability to use it. But in that is an awareness that, boy, we really need to be focused on.
Chap Bettis, who is a friend of ours here, he came and spoke at Harvest Community Church, did a parenting conference for us maybe a year or so ago. He recently wrote an article called 12 Principles for Media Use. And in that, he cited a couple different studies. And in those studies, the studies found that students were using, or their media usage was somewhere either around nine hours a day or 11 hours a day, and that did not include texting, school, or homework. And then he also stated that in the study, half the parents of these kids that were surveyed or polled had no rules for media usage. Charlie, when you hear that, are you surprised? 9 or 11 hours, and then half the parents, no rules.
Yeah, no, it's I'm not surprised anymore, but I would say my heart aches because as a student pastor and seeing students dealing with families, you can trace the majority of issues and situations that a student is walking through a lot of them, if not majority of them, go back to that media usage and things that they have taken in at an age they weren't really made to be receiving yet.
So if media usage is addictive, and our kids, our students, some form of media usage, 9 to 11 hours a day, probably more, what shall we do about it? How might we help students, parents, when it comes to media usage and them helping their kids? Because it is addictive. Like something needs to be done. I think our parents need to be informed. I think we need to be informed. But what can we do to help them?
Boy, number one is to be engaged. You know, be engaged in what's out there. And this is a constant moving target because, you know, with social media, students are the first to the social media side. Gen Zers are the first to social media. But then once their parents find it, they're moving on to something else. So be engaged in knowing what's out there. The second thing I would say is be engaged with your student and be engaged in parenting through this. The easiest thing to do is to just let it go. It's hard parenting. It's a hard road to get involved and to get in the way of your child that is going, my friends have this. This is what everyone else is doing. And to step in and to speak truth into that moment, it's a hard road to hold. But to engage that moment is even more important because if we miss on this, we're allowing in these development years for the development of things that we didn't take action on, and we're going, Lord, help, but we have our chance while they are still developing.
I think one of the things we can also do is be intentional about our own media use. I'm modeling for my children what it looks like to handle media usage. I mean, just point blank, when they watch me. My wife reminds me all the time that when I'm in the car, they're watching what I do with my phone. When I'm at home, they're watching what I do with my phone, whether or not I'm engaged. So modeling what I want my kids to do. And that's tough because at the end of the day, you know, we oftentimes disciple more with our actions than our words. So that's one of the things. Another one that Chap mentions that I've thought was very, very helpful was that assume that your kids are looking at explicit things, explicit content. They're going to see things at some point, and we want to be at a place with our children and connecting to their hearts where we're able to dialogue. We want to be able to be at a place where they will talk with us. And so they've probably seen things. They've probably looked at things, and to kind of cultivate the type of relationship where our kids are like, hey, we can talk about this and initiate those conversations. Any other things that you would say?
Yeah, it's helping. I would say along with that, though, there's an element where you want to foster this conversation. And boy, parents, the quicker you can engage this conversation, the better. Start it young. But in that, the one huge one, do not hand an unfiltered device to a kid. Mm-hmm. The unfiltered device, even the way programs are being built, they're designed to take them down some roads that you're just not looking for them to go. Have filtering stuff on your devices. Quick practicals. Set up time limits when you choose for your kids to engage. It's not wrong. You're not wrong as a parent or leader to say, we're not ready to go down the cell phone route yet. The cell phone, which now seems more like it's a right than it is a privilege or a necessity, but be focused to the point of, man, where's the safe places and safe ways for my kid to engage and for me to teach through this process? And at the same time, recognize that there's some things, just like a driver's license doesn't come till a certain time, there's some things boy, it's safe to wait on. Give that some time. There are opportunities and ways to work through things. But what I see the most is the data phone has completely changed the landscape of where teenager or Gen Zers specifically engage and how they form identity and so forth.
Yeah, and in summary to that, don't parents, grandparents, don't give our kids responsibility that they can't handle.
Absolutely.
It's no different than we wouldn't put car keys in the hands of a 10-year-old because they can't handle driving at 10. So being cognizant of that. And another thing, and I got this from Chap Bettis. I'll never forget when we were interviewing him. He talked about telling his kids that the devices he owned were his devices. They weren't theirs. And so parents may be taking that approach, making sure that they know that their cell phone is your cell phone and they are just borrowing it. They're just using it. It's not theirs. It's yours. I think that would be very, very helpful. Well, in closing, just maybe a few controls that we would highly recommend parents to consider using. One is Circle. You can look it up online. Just type in Circle. Another is Covenant Eyes. That would be very helpful as a control for media usage for your children. Charlie, you have anything?
I would say if you're looking for a device to work with, one is with Amazon's Kindle. Those have some pretty solid parental controls, though Amazon's software itself, like searching on Amazon, is not so great, but their device has some great parental controls in it.
I hope this time was beneficial for you. Please know we're here for you. We're praying for you as you are discipling your children.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.